You're with us on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're discussing legislation to remove the term mental retardation from the state administrative code and the move to replace it with the words intellectual disability. And we're looking at what's behind the legislation and the impact that terminology can have on society and in government. How do you feel about this bill? Do you or a loved one have an intellectual or developmental disability? How do you feel about this proposal? We're at 800-642-1234. Go ahead and email ideas at WPR.org. Representative John Jagler of Watertown is a Republican who represents the 37th Assembly District. He and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald introduced this bill. Representative Jagler, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us about how you decided to introduce this legislation. What motivated you to do this now?
Well, it's interesting. There was a bill several years ago that former Representative Eric Severson up from northern Wisconsin had done that replaced mental retardation with intellectual disability. That was way back in, I think, 2010, maybe 2011 he had that bill. And it replaced it in state statute, which is fine, except, you know, as we started reviewing the rules that go with the state statute, the way the legislative process works is we'll write the intent of the legislature, and it goes to the agencies. The agencies then create rules to implement our intent, the law that we passed. And the bill that was from 2011 didn't have that in there. It kind of missed that part. So while the mental retardation still is gone from state statute, it still appears as administrative code, and it still has the effect of law and shows up about 90 times in our law books. And as we were reviewing some of all of the rules, actually, through the last six sessions, or 6 years, rather, last three sessions, we went through all the rules, rule by rule, to eliminate some that were, you know, duplicative and just not necessary anymore. We saw this come up over and over again. I was like, well, you know what, it's got to go. If we removed it from state statute, it's good to remove it from the administrative code as well. So from a consistency basis, it's necessary. For me personally, it has a special meaning. I have a 22-year-old daughter with Down syndrome.
So your daughter Gracie has Down syndrome. How have your personal experiences contributed to wanting to change the official language?
Well, it's more of you know, for me personally, I always at first when Gracie was born, I was always like, it's just a word. You know, people say it; they don't really mean it when they say a retarded. I was like, well, how hurtful can it be, really? But then when, you know, as it moved along and people became more aware that this probably is a phrase that shouldn't be said, it did start to sting a little bit, especially when I had friends or peers my age saying it and in casual conversation, and then they'd catch themselves. That kind of hurt. And for me, it was something that kind of grew on me, but for others, it's a very hurtful phrase and brings back, it's dehumanizing in a way. And it's actually really, really sad, because the phrase mental retardation, clinically, if you just break it down by definition, is not necessarily a bad thing at all. It just means you're slowed mentally. To retard means to slow, and that's what it means. But, of course, it's taken on a whole new connotation and has for years. Started other efforts like spread the word to end the word. And things like that. So in the disability community, it's a phrase that is outdated and hurtful and bothersome to a lot of people. In fact, it was interesting. I've gotten lots of emails from people in the disability community who've reached out to me about this, including from other states that say, hey, well, I wonder if we've done this, we should do this too. But one thing I didn't think of when I did it was a woman who went through and just did her power of attorney and other legal documents because she has a 7-year-old daughter with Down syndrome, and said it was harmful to me when I would look back at those documents that I was signing with the power of attorney, that mental retardation kept on showing up in there. Mentally retarded was over and over in the language. And she said she asked her attorney if she could please strike that out and put something else like intellectual disability that her child has. And the attorney said, no, that would null and void the contract, essentially.
Mm.
So it goes on. It goes beyond, you know, just trying to shame people from saying the R word. For me, it's consistency, but also anything that makes it more, like I said, it's a dehumanizing term.
We're talking with Representative John Jagler. He's a Republican who represents the 37th Assembly District of Wisconsin. We're discussing his bill to remove the term mental retardation from the state administrative code and replace it with intellectual disability. Gathering your thoughts here as well at 800-642-1234. What do you want to ask Representative Jagler about this bill? What do you think about updating the language in the state's legal code? 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Representative, is this just the tip of the iceberg here? The Wisconsin Administrative Code is thousands of pages long, and it isn't always necessarily kept up to date with contemporary language. Are there other things in the code that need an update? What's your sense on that?
I don't know. I've heard from some people on the deaf side of it that there were some things in there when it comes to people who are deaf that may be updated. I am not aware of any. Like I said, for me, this was, obviously I have a personal connection to it, but it's also for me trying to make our rules consistent with the statute. So it had a double edge to me, but there may be something out there I certainly would look into. But this bill that Senator Fitzgerald has agreed to have a companion bill in the Senate focuses strictly on mental retardation.
So how will you and Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald move forward on this? Where does it go from here?
Well, the bill went out for co-sponsorship. We had a pretty good response to it on the Republican and Democratic side last week. They were signing on as co-sponsors. Then the Senate Majority Leader will put out his companion bill that will go on. And I just want to thank him publicly because, you know, it's very rare to have the majority leader of the Senate author bills. They may do a couple here or there, but when I asked them and said, hey, this needs to be done, can we, you know, do you think of a Senate author for me to go around and have this on your side of the building? And he said, I'll do it. Let me do it. I'd love to do that bill. So it was great to have his support. From there, it'll be signed and go through the normal committee process, and I can't imagine anybody opposing this. I think it should be fairly quick and fairly easy. Of course, the Capitol's a little different these days.
Yeah, right. let's bring in a really quick call here. Mark in New Berlin. Mark, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I agree with you 100%. I just wonder, is either one of the terms defined anywhere medically or legally?
Mark, thanks for the call. And can you go into those definitions?
Well, yes, you can. And the reason why is because in the statute itself, it defines intellectual disability. That was the vehicle that they chose when the original bill to change the statute became law. And this just is consistent with that. So, yes, it is defined, but this would mirror that language from the previous statute.
Well, Representative Jagler, thank you for joining us.
Glad to do it.
Republican Representative John Jagler of Watertown represents the 37th Assembly District. He and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald introduced legislation to remove the phrase mental retardation from Wisconsin Administrative Code. Coming up, we'll talk with a disability rights advocate about this legislation and the weight of words that we use to refer to people with intellectual disabilities. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. One in four adults in our country has a disability that impacts major life activities. That's 61 million Americans, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data. We're looking at a bill here in Wisconsin that would remove the terminology mental retardation from the state's administrative code. Let's bring in Barbara Beckert now. She is the Milwaukee Office Director and the Director of External Advocacy for Southeastern Wisconsin for Disability Rights Wisconsin. That is an organization that works to protect the rights of people with disabilities. Barbara, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for this opportunity.
For people who do not have an intellectual disability or loved ones with intellectual disabilities, help us explain why the phrase mental retardation is problematic.
Sure. First, I just would like to thank Representative Jagler and Senator Fitzgerald for their leadership, and especially thank Representative Jagler's daughter for her role in inspiring this legislation. So as you mentioned in the previous interview, the word retard is often used as a slang for the term mental retardation. And mental retardation for a long time was used as the medical term for people with intellectual disabilities. And a lot of different terms have historically been used, other terms that we find offensive now, such as idiocy or feeble-mindedness. I think it's representative of the history of people with intellectual disabilities who were often excluded from society, forced into institutions. And we've come a long way since then. People with disabilities in our state are now respected and recognized as our friends and neighbors, our coworkers. And part of that change is recognizing that we need to reevaluate the language that we use.
Your organization does advocacy work for people with intellectual and other disabilities. What kinds of experiences do people with disabilities have with words like retarded or retardation?
Well, as you point out, words have a lot of power, and negative language, such as the use of the term retard, can lead to harmful action and discrimination. One of the areas where our agency does probably the most advocacy is for students with disabilities who have special education needs. And we often see that many of them have experienced bullying and discrimination, and very often that's included being called the R word. That type of language and bullying has major implications. It's not just about being politically correct. It's about treating people with respect and dignity. And students who experience this kind of abuse can act out in other ways as a result of the hurt that they experience. And it can cause some pretty significant problems for them in school.
In particular, why is official language, contracts, or legal code, as we're talking about the language that state government uses, why is that important to get it to change and update and get it right?
Yeah, well, this really brings back some positive memories for me. Back in 2011, as Representative Jagler had mentioned, there was another bill that moved forward to remove the term from the state law. And I was actually at the bill signing, which was held here in Milwaukee in Independence First. And there were so many self-advocates there, individuals who have an intellectual disability, and their families, and many of them had advocated for this change because that language was offensive and hurtful to them. And it was so, it was such a joyous day, and it was so meaningful to be there with individuals whose lives were impacted by this change and who felt respected and recognized. When I looked over the administrative code, I noted that many of the references relate to facilities such as nursing homes or other types of institutions where individuals with intellectual disabilities may live. And that kind of language might be seen, for example, by certified nursing assistants or other staff who are providing care there. So I think having language that is more respectful sends not only an important message to individuals with intellectual disabilities, but those who provide care.
We're talking with Barbara Beckert. She is with Disability Rights Wisconsin. We're talking about how two state lawmakers are pushing a bill to remove the phrase mental retardation from state administrative code. Gathering your thoughts, they're welcome at 800-642-1234. Are there other parts of the code you think that need addressing? Do you or a loved one have an intellectual disability? Have you seen terminology not staying up to date? 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Barbara, Steve Calden couldn't stay with us. He's asked, there are words that used to be appropriate and are now not appropriate. Aren't the words we now use that are appropriate just going to be problems down the road? What has history shown about how language changes and why is it important to change?
Yeah, well, I thank Steve for calling in, and I think that that's a great point. Yes, absolutely, language does change and evolve, and I mentioned when we started our conversation about historically that other kinds of terms that had been used for individuals with disabilities are now things that, you know, we would not think of using, you know, that are clearly offensive, like idiocy and feeble-mindedness, and we often try and focus on using people-first language to focus on the person and not the disability. And, you know, I've heard people question the use of the word disability, for example. We want to focus on the person's ability to put that first. So, you know, I agree that language continues to change and evolve, and I really respect the voices and perspective of those who have a disability in leading that change. I think that's been one of the striking things in this case. There's been a campaign to end the R word, and it's been led by Special Olympics, which, as you probably know, is an organization made up of athletes who have a disability. So I want to thank them for their leadership, and I've learned a lot from their stories.
Well, here's a big, broad question coming up. How is Wisconsin doing with the way it treats people with intellectual and developmental disabilities?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. So I think that Wisconsin is, like the rest of our country, it's a work in progress. I think that we can feel good about some of the progress we have made. In our state, for example, we have an entitlement under family care and IRIS for individuals who have an intellectual disability to have the right to receive services and supports in the community rather than in an institution. So in that respect, we've come a long way towards promoting inclusion. But we still have a long way to go. One of the proposals that we are supportive and we hope Governor Evers will advance in the state budget is to provide that same right for children with intellectual disabilities and other disabilities to not have to languish on a waiting list for service, but to have the right to receive community services and support. Sometimes families end up having to give up custody of a child because they can't get the services that they need. You know, that's wrong. We need to change that.
Barbara, when we are using terminology and addressing someone with some type of challenge, and we may not even know what challenge it is, how do we know about how to go about the language and where we ask for help?
I think that that is a very sensitive and insightful question, and one that we all need to ask ourselves. And, you know, sometimes I think that the best thing to do is to ask the individual and to get their response, because there's not one answer to that question. I think another resource is to reach out to the disability community. There are a lot of groups that are eager to act as a resource. For example, I serve on the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. They have they do a great job of education, always willing to help provide a speaker, do outreach. Our agency, Disability Rights Wisconsin, as well, is eager to provide education and training And there's quite a bit of information on social media as well. So those are a few ideas. The Wisconsin ARC is another group that is a great resource and active on this issue. And, of course, I had mentioned Special Olympics as well.
Barbara, in the last few seconds we have, is this bill a movement or a step toward something else that you're really wanting to work on and move toward?
Well, I think that this bill is a positive step in establishing dignity, inclusion, and respect for all people with intellectual disabilities. And it's representative of some of the other advancements that we are working towards. One example of that is employment first and ensuring that more opportunities are available to people with disabilities to be fully accepted in the mainstream of our community and to work and to be as independent as possible. And I think the last story that you had on that talked about people with visual disabilities and their right to work speaks to that as well.
Barbara, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Barbara Beckert is Milwaukee Office Director and the Director of External Advocacy for Southeastern Wisconsin for Disability Rights Wisconsin. Up next, it's news. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.